Missing our brother and sister McGuire, of course. Good to see David and Lexi. David and Lexi. Yeah, Jared and Tiffany back. I'll tell you what, I can remember some of our visitors' names. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, well, when I get old, I'll think about that. But let's continue to remember the McGuires, of course, in prayer. As most of you know, they actually left and had planned to go to Texas to celebrate his father's, what was it, 89th birthday? I believe it was 89. And during all this time, then Sister McGuire's father had to have surgery. He ended up dying. And so they're still in Texas. They're on the way home, I believe. But in all of that, celebrating birthday, lose a father, and celebrating their 37th anniversary today. Talk about up and down, up and down. But we're glad that we're here, and we're glad that y'all are here. Good to have our visitors. Brother, we've been praying for you, brother. Amen. Brother Mark, of course. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what, I haven't had any sleep today. That's my problem. I haven't had a nap. I'm going to say that. I'm going to use that for my excuse. Praise God. Well, anyhow, it's good to be in the house of the Lord and to know God. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now, I love, of course, all of the New Testament. And actually, my favorite book in the New Testament is the book of James. And I'll be talking some out of the book of James today. But Hebrews 11, chapter verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." What would you say tonight, and I don't need a raise of hands, but what would you say if I were to ask you to show me your faith? We don't carry our faith around in our pocket to pull it out and to display it, but is it possible to demonstrate our faith? I can tell you that I have faith, but it's possible, or is it possible, that I can show you that I have faith? There's a difference in belief and faith. I believe that there is electricity running through this building. On my way to church, I believed the air conditioner was going to be on. It's not on enough for people like me, but we have internal furnaces, I guess. But I knew it was going to be on because I know the one who pays the bills. And I know she's faithful about paying the bills, and so I knew that the electric wasn't going to be turned off. And when I came in and saw that the lights were on, electricity running through the building, I thought, man, you know, that's what I believe came to pass. Now, I believe that that switch over there can turn off some lights. And I could believe that all day long. I could believe it till tomorrow, and I could stand right here. But unless there's some action put with what I believe, those lights aren't going to change. I have got to physically go over and flip the switch to turn the lights off or on. That's pretty simple, I know, but I believe that we understand it requires action on my part when I believe, when I have faith. It still requires action on my part. So believing is not enough. There has to be action. Okay, for instance, okay, Lord, I need a job. Anybody ever been there? I need a job. So, Lord, I believe you're going to supply. So I'm going to sit here on my couch eating potato chips and Dr. Pepper. And that's not how it works. Faith is really the same way. If I believe, I've got to put some action to my faith. I can believe the Bible is true. And if I ask, show of hands, I'm not asking, but how many believe the Word of God is true? Yeah, we do believe the Word of God is true. But if I don't put my action to my belief, my faith is nothing. For instance, the Bible teaches me that I must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Do I believe that? If I believe it, then I'm going to do something about it. I won't just automatically, okay, I've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I have to repent of my sins. I got to be baptized according to the Scripture in Jesus' name and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother Keith taught on Sunday about the demonstration of the Spirit, and I was a little concerned with him when he got down in that fetal position. You know, he's not as young as he used to be, but he was able to get back up. But he was showing the demonstration of worship, how we worship, the different forms of worship and so forth. And tonight I thought I want to talk about the demonstration of faith. How do we demonstrate our faith? And I hope to show before tonight's over with that you can see a demonstration of faith just like you can see a demonstration of worship. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Some feel that faith means there's miracles. And without miracles, I don't have faith. If I haven't seen a miracle, I must not have faith. But faith is simply the trust in God to keep His promises. I'm going to trust God. I believe God. I have faith in God. He said He was going to do this. It's going to happen. Now, it might involve a miracle. Anybody ever see blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, the lame walk? Many of us have seen those things. But Paul is saying here that substance is in our faith, or our faith is our substance, and our life is proof of our faith. How we live is proof of our faith. How we live, how we act, how we talk. Our life, the way we live it, is a demonstration of what we believe. Look out. I don't want to get anybody upset, but how we live is a demonstration of our faith, of what we believe. James teaches a lot about faith, and he speaks of a man who wavers in his faith and is like a ship being tossed on the seas. James says he's a double-minded man. He's unstable in all of his ways. He speaks about the difference between one who just hears the word and one who is a doer of the word. He speaks of what constitutes pure religion and undefiled. He tells us what having respect of persons is sin. If I favor one over another, that's sin. If I have respect of persons, you drive in here in a fancy new Cadillac and, you know, $2,000 suits, we're going to set you on the front row. But if you come in here in an old jalopy in blue jeans and torn shirt, we're going to put you back there in the back where nobody can say. That is a sin. So James talks about these things, and he said, if you commit one sin, you're guilty of the whole law. And then we go past chapter 1 into chapter 2, and verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you gave them not those things which are needed to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." So what we do, how we live, shows us and tells the world what we believe. True faith requires action. Amen. True faith needs action. It's not enough to see the problem and say, God bless you, brother. I'm going to pray for you. And I've got the means to help you, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say, God bless you. I've got to demonstrate through my life what I believe. I believe in paying tithes and giving the offerings. I believe in prayer and fasting. But what does my life show? Faith without works is dead, being alone. Jesus said in John, chapter 13, verse 35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you don't like each other on Sunday." Now, if you have love one to another. One demonstration of faith is our love to one another. When we love each other like we're supposed to, like the scripture tells us to do. Listen, we're all members of one body. We're all members of one body. And because I can't say I don't need the hand. Or say, I want to be the ear. I'm just the thumb on the right hand. I want to be the... We're all members of one body. And we each of us needs each other. I was working in a light fixture plant some years ago, and one of the workers dropped a light fixture on that foot right there. And it was heavy. And it fell from about this high. And my body said, ouch. I went to the ground. These hands reached for that foot, pulled it up where I could get to it. These fingers untied the strings. These hands took, this whole body ached for what I was feeling. My whole body said, I've got to come to the rescue of those toes. I've got to comfort those toes. See, that's the way it is in the house of God. When one hurts, everybody hurts. When one rejoices, everyone should rejoice. I was in a golf tournament out in Plant City one time, and I was one of the finalists in a putting contest. And if I sunk a 50-foot putt, I'd get $25,000. And I lined up my putt, and I hit it, and it was rolling. And you could hear the crowd start getting louder and louder because it was getting closer and closer to the hole. And about 6 inches from the hole, it stopped. Excited and happy, my whole body was excited and happy. Now all of a sudden, it was down. Then all of a sudden, it was happy again because I still got $1,000 for it. That's the way it is in the body. When one is happy, we're all happy. When one is excited, when Chris Brown gets that job that she interviewed for, we're shouting already. We're already shouting over that. And it hadn't even come all the way through yet, but it's still there, and I believe it is. Amen. Faith requires love. I have got to love the body of Christ. I have to love according to the Word of God. Love one another. That's how we'll know that we're a disciple of Christ, that we have love one for another. Amen. Jesus said that the greatest commandment was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind. He said the second one is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And we all love ourselves. Oh, come on. You take a group picture. Who's the first one you look for? See my point. We're all in love with ourselves. But Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And on these two hang all the laws and the prophets. If I do that, I have obeyed every law God ever commanded. Loving God and loving my neighbor. I've fulfilled the entire law. If we love God and each other, we're keeping his commandments. But I can't love God and hate my neighbor. I can't do that. I can't. If I say I love God and hate my brother, I'm a liar. It means I don't really love God. Amen. Matthew 5 and 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Woo, come on. Lord's getting a little bit heavy here. I'm talking about demonstrating faith. Demonstrating, do I believe that word of God? Do I have faith in the word of God that it says what it means and it means what it says? He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. That one that cut you off in traffic, say, God bless you. It's okay. Yeah, right. Come on. I think I'm talking to somebody tonight. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So how we treat one another is demonstrating our faith. It's a demonstration to the world how we believe, the kind of faith that we have. And it's demonstrating to one another what kind of faith we have. Amen. So, being obedient to God's word is a demonstration of our faith, being obedient to his commandments, being obedient to his word. David had faith in God, and he was watching his father's sheep. And a bear came out of the woods to grab a lamb. David had faith in God, but he didn't sit back and say, okay, God, take care of that bear. He got a slingshot, and he slew the bear. God gave him the ability to do that. Lion came out, same situation. You see, faith requires action. When David went down to check on his brothers and see how the battle was going, it wasn't going so good. Across the valley was this giant. He was cursing and yelling at the armies of Israel, and Israel was over on this side of the valley, and they were all scared. And, to be honest with you, if a 9-foot giant walked through that door and asked me to give somebody to fight, I'd say, Brother Chris, he's talking to you. I mean, we can ridicule those soldiers, but that's a big dude. And his spear's like a weaver's beam. Yeah, I probably would be a little bit scared myself. But David had faith in a living God. And he stood out there and said, who is this dog to defy the armies of the living God? I have faith in God. And God, I just want you to knock him down. You know, sometimes that's the way we treat our problems. God, you just take care of it. When we could do it ourselves if we had the faith that God would help us. And David, he went into the brook. He picked up 5 smooth stones. He took that slingshot of his. And he slew the giant. Well, it took action. I believe God, but I still have to have action. James, the second chapter, and it's going down to verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You believe that there's one God? That's pretty good. Of course, the devils believe that. So if that's all your faith, you're not any better off than the devil. Wonder where that leaves the atheists. I believe there's one God. And my works will prove that. My works will prove that there is one God, and I believe one God. I hear the word of God and reading in Matthew 28:19. We could all probably quote that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I hear that. I hear Peter obeying that great commandment on the day of Pentecost when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I hear Paul say, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. I hear Paul telling the Philippians that he's been given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Amen. But I hear the word, but hearing is not enough. It's in the Word of God. I understand it. It's there. I'll show you my faith by my works. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I repented of my sins. I did what God's told me to do. I was baptized in the name of only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Obeying the Word is demonstrating our faith. I've said before, and it's kind of silly, but I'm going to say it anyway. If the Bible tells me I've got to stand on my head in a corner 2 hours a day, then that's what I got to do. Of course, it don't, thank God. But what the Scripture obeying the Word of God is demonstrating our faith. Forgiveness is another form. Forgiving, oh my goodness. We Jen stopped teaching and started meddling. All too often, we don't want to forgive. Can somebody be honest? There are times we don't want to forgive because we've been hurt. Something has happened. But failure to forgive, somebody once said, is like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. Because forgiveness just deteriorates, or lack of forgiveness just hurts you. It shrivels you up. Forgiveness is a form of demonstrating my faith. We've all been hurt at times. Come on, folks. We've all been hurt at times. And sometimes spiritual hurts can be the most painful that we can go through. But when we have been hurt, a true child of God who has faith, unfeigned faith, will learn how to forgive. And that doesn't mean I'm going to hold you accountable. I forgive you, but I'm just going to jerk you bald-headed anyway. Forgiveness is, well, Jesus forgave me of much. And I cannot bring myself to not forgive when I've been forgiven of so much. You look back over your life and the things that have happened and the things that you have done. And we don't have to. There's people here that I know have been in deep, deep sin. And you're here today because God forgave you. And our sin against Him, much greater than what we have ever done to one another. And as far as I know, there's nothing on that going on. I don't mean that. But that's a demonstrating our faith, that we forgive one another. Amen. People will disappoint us. Listen, people are going to fail us. But we don't serve people. We serve God. And serving God means I am going to do what He told me to do. And He said, you must forgive. Praise God. Peter asked Jesus in Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall I my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, there is no limit on forgiveness. Now, I'm just going to put this out there for anyone that may feel that God has not forgiven you. Will God require you to do something He won't do? God's not going to require me to forgive you 70 times 7 on one sin and He not forgive me. But He said, if you forgive, then you will be forgiven. Amen. There is no limit to forgiving one another. He forgives us as we forgive others, just like we forgive others. Amen. Forgiveness cleans us from anger. Forgiveness cleans us up from bitterness and distrust and the desire for revenge. And forgiveness will heal our soul. Oh, but I haven't felt God in for so long. Is it maybe because you failed to forgive someone? I don't know. But I do know this. Luke 6:37, judge not that you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Jesus included forgiveness when He taught His disciples how to pray. He said, as you get through your prayer, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. As we forgive, that's how we're going to be forgiven. Amen. By faith, Rahab the harlot hid the spies and helped them escape. And by obeying, she saved herself. She saved her household, saved her family. Faith requires obedience. Rahab had heard about Israelites, and the spies had come into the city, and they were in danger, so she hid them and protected them. And because that, Rahab the harlot is in the lineage of Jesus Christ because she obeyed. Amen. Because she obeyed. We can read the 11th chapter of Hebrews and see how the works of faith brought many victories, but Rahab was just one of many. And you can go back all the way to the beginning with Abel, offered a more excellent sacrifice and so forth. But Israel, even before they got to Jericho, the spies had been saved. They got out of Jericho. They came back to camp. And before they ever got to Jericho, God told Joshua, I've given you the city. Okay. Since you've given us the city, let's see what's going on. They got there and said, well, okay, God has given us the city, but there it is. It's still standing. The gates are closed. We can't get in. What are we going to do? And God said, you got to walk around that city one time each day for 6 days. On the seventh day, I want you to walk around 7 days. Now, listen, it probably got boring and it probably got tired. It probably got frustrated going around that city, just round and round that city. But that's what God told them to do. Because God told them to do it and they did it, then we know the walls fell. But great walls around the city could not stand up to the obedience to the word of God. When God said, I've given you the city, he meant what he said. All you have to do is walk. All you got to do is walk. Do it the 7 times. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They got tired and their patience were thin. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. Patience is a sign or a demonstration of your faith. I don't want to be patient. I want what I want, and I want it now. Patience. In your patience possess your soul, he said. Amen. In the 21st chapter of Matthew, Jesus tells us of the end times and all that's going to be going on. And there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars and all the pestilence and all the things that are happening. But he said, in your patience. We're living in that last day. Folks, look around. I have never seen... I'm one of the older ones in here. And in my life, I have never seen such a divided country, a divided world. I've never seen such hatred and bitterness. A couple buddies arguing over Facebook about politics. One of them got together and shot the other one. My. Yeah, we're living in those last days. And Jesus is coming. Our patience is his coming is a demonstration of our faith. Listen, I want him to come. I'd just as soon him come right this minute. But if he don't come for another 10, 15 years, I've got to have patience in he knowing that he knows what he's doing. And there's still some more being saved. Listen, Sunday we're going to have missionary Sunday, and there's some great reports being brought into us. I'm telling you, the power of God is working in all of the mess that's going on in the world. There are people being baptized in Jesus' name and filled the Holy Ghost by the dozens and even by the thousands in countries that you wouldn't think. So just have patience. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Amen. Every answer that I find ever recorded in Scripture came after there was an action on the part of the believer. And sometimes that action was just waiting. Daniel prayed, Lord, I need this answer. And the next day, the same prayer. And the third day, and the fourth day. 21 days he prayed. Well, his action was just waiting on God. Well, he was praying, but he was waiting on God. Finally, the angel of the Lord came to him and told him, your enemy hindered me, but I'm here now. When you're praying and you're seeking God, let your faith become your patience. Demonstrate your faith through your patience. Sister Chris, you've been patient about that job. You went to school. You did what you're supposed to do. And now it's coming through. God will come through at the right time. Elijah prayed for rain, and nothing was going on. It didn't happen. He said, well, go, and told the servant, go look again. Servant came back, said, I don't see a thing. He put his head between his knees, and he prayed. He said, Lord, prayer sometimes, or faith sometimes requires us just to wait. Pray and wait. Pray and wait. But I don't like waiting. I want the answer now. Praise God. Faithfulness is also a demonstration of faith. And I'm coming to a close. Faithfulness is a demonstration of faith. Faithfulness in prayer. Faithfulness in fasting. Faithfulness in study. Faithfulness in attendance to church. Faithfulness tithe and offering. Faithfulness in to do according to the word of God. But it takes a demonstration. It takes action, even just to wait. Woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She been to her doctors, spent all of her living on doctors. And one day, she saw a crowd going by. Said in the middle of that crowd was Jesus. Now, she could have stood there and thought, well, there is the Lord, and he's a healer. I think he ought to come to me. Uh-oh. He knows I'm sick. He needs to come to me. No. She said, if I can just get to him, if I can put some action to my faith, if I can get to him, I put action to my faith, I know he can do it. I believe he can do it. There's nothing impossible for my God. If I can just get to him, if I can just get my prayer life in such a state, I can touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. Oh, my Lord, if we could just understand, it's our action. It's our action to get us to where we need to be. That the way we live, the way we talk, the way we act, to get to the throne of grace or the hem of his garment. It's me. It's not him. I've got to do it. You don't think Jesus knew she was there? He knew she was there. You know, sometimes Jesus, he likes to try our faith. Okay, are you ready to put some action to that faith? Are you ready to step out and do something to get what you want? Yeah, I'm ready to study and get my degree and take the testing, right? Yeah. Praise God. Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was vexed with the devil. Jesus, she came to Jesus and Jesus ignored her. The disciples told her, said, why don't you just tell her to go away? I'm not talking to her. But she worshiped him. Jesus said, I'm not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she said, I know that, Lord. I know that. And she fell down and worshiped him. And she called. He called her a dog. He said, it's not meat to give the children's meat to dogs. Now listen, you think you would have just kept on going? You're looking at the Savior, and you know that he can heal your daughter, but he first ignored you, then he said he wouldn't come for you, and then he called you a dog? She said, yea, Lord, I know what I am. I'm just a rotten sinner, but Lord, I need you. I want you. My daughter needs healing. I came to get the crumbs from the under the table that the children have left. Listen, we are the children of God. We don't need to worry about the crumbs under the table. We get to sit at the master's table. We get a seat up there and feast what the Lord has given us. And we just need to reach out to him. Touch him. Believe in him. God's going to take care of us. God's going to listen to our prayers. So love, obedience, forgiveness, faithfulness, these are ways that we live that show us our faith. It shows our faith in action, our demonstration of faith touches God. Our demonstration of, listen, when we have prayer and people are down here crying in the altars, they're going to touch God. Our actions, when we go without food, we're fasting. Folks, that touches God. That gets God's attention. When we're living the way we're supposed to live, when we forgive others, that gets God's attention, praise God. I know that just as sure as God inhabits the praises of his saints, he loves to see our life show forth his praise and worship and all of that. But he wants us to show forth what we believe. Lord, I'm trusting you. Lord, and this is my prayer. Your will. And that's the hardest prayer I'll pray. Lord, your will. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. what I have need of, God, I'm going to present it to you. And when I do, I'm still going to say, Lord, your will, whatever you want. That's not easy to do, folks. That's not easy to do because his will sometimes takes us down a thorny patch. Sometimes his will takes us in areas that we don't want to go, but it is for our own good. If God, somebody said, if God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. That really is true. That really is true. So whatever you have need of today, doesn't matter what it is, when you put in action your faith, put it in action. Demonstrate your faith. Worshiping God is great, and running these aisles is awesome. And man, I'd love to see it every service. I love to see the demonstration of worship. But the demonstration of faith shows this world who we are and shows God that we mean business. We're here to serve him. We're here to trust him. We're here to put our confidence in him. We're here to do what he wants us to do. Amen. In spite of what I want, in spite of what I desire, Lord, I want your will. Let's stand. God bless you. So good to know the Lord and know that he is still on the throne. To know that God loves us, that he cares for us. He sees us where we are. He knows what's going on in my life. He knows what's going on in your life. And no matter what we do or what we say, it is a matter of showing forth my faith. God, here I am. I'm in the house of God tonight. Sure I am. That's a demonstration. But Lord, there's so much more. God, I want you to touch me. What do I have to do, God, to get your attention? Do I have to press through the crowd? Do I have to knock the disciples out of the way so that I can touch the hem of your garment? That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Lord, whatever it takes for me to get what I need, I'm willing to do it, God. Show me. Talk to me. Help me to press through my flesh, press through my preconceived ideas of what God can do and what he might do. And Lord, just you do what you want. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's come to the front for just a minute, if we could. And let's just worship the Lord for a minute. I believe God is a merciful God. And I stopped a little bit early tonight, but God's such a merciful Savior. And he knows where we're at. And if we've had